This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today I have with me...
Mary Proctor.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now, Mary, you've just come back from a trip to England and you have some family connections, but there's a lot more behind that, isn't there?
Yeah, well, there is really, because I've never wanted to go to England. You know how most people go when they're 20 or something, because I had this really amazing upbringing with a huge extended family. So all my relatives arrived, all my ancestors arrived in about the 1850s. And
you mean that in a direct line, they never cross-married with anyone coming more?
Well, I'm sure they did.
In your line, yeah. Okay. You trace your history back.
I trace my history
to the original landing in New Zealand. Which is a very common phenomenon, yeah. Life starts when the ancestor arrived in New Zealand.
And to me, that's all there was. Because I was a McFarlane, and there was absolutely no history of what happened to the McFarlanes.
So you're Scottish origin then, I take it? And they came from Scotland? Was that because of the Highland clearances?
Yes, I assume so. But there is no... There is no history as to why they came.
Okay.
No stories.
Did they refer to Britain or Scotland as home?
My grandmother did, even though she and her father were born in New Zealand.
Okay. Yeah. But did that have any impact on your perception?
No, I thought she was a funny old thing to say that.
Okay.
Why she'd been born here, why would England be a home?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
when we settle on Mars, then people won't even think they've come from that. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Because Mars will be where they are.
Yeah.
And that's where their children and grandchildren are and everything else. So they will feel Martian.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Mm. Okay. Anyway, so your family, they've been here for approaching 200 years.
And so, because of that, there are people who've gone into the history back in England. Yeah. But for me,
hang on. You call it England, but you're Scottish. You still refer to it as England rather than Britain.
The UK.
No, okay. It's there was a film where the Scotsman objected when English people referred to Britain as England.
He said, yes.
No. Okay,
well, I'm not Scottish, am I?
No,
I'm a New Zealander.
You're a Kiwi, yes.
So therefore, I'm not going to get the terminology correct.
Well, I'm going to jump the gun a bit then. When you went over there, and you are in your 70s, so first time ever, going over to Scotland, age 70, you felt at home?
At home.
Okay.
So this incredible, powerful love for the land. There were no, I mean, I love people anyway. That's my life and my job. So therefore, I'm going to like the people wherever they are.
Yeah.
But when we went on the train from London to Edinburgh, the land filled my heart. And I can't say why or anything else, but I felt like I knew it in me.
Yeah.
And I only got that feeling really in the Northern England and Scotland.
Yeah, because there is a very different feel.
A very different feel, yes.
Yeah.
So because of that, I just felt incredibly at ease that I didn't have this burning desire to know all about the history, though I was interested and went. But I just wanted to feel what it felt like to be a descendant of people who lived there.
Yeah, Okay. Now, I've taken you off track here. have we left a few things out on the way through that?
I don't know.
So had your parents gone back to Britain?
Dad did.
Okay.
As a young man.
Yeah. And he talked about it much?
Not really. It wasn't an easy time for him.
Okay.
I think he didn't have any money, and he worked on farms and things like that, but I don't think he ever felt at home there.
Okay, yeah.
So there wasn't ever that. My mother never went. My grandparents did, but they only ever went as tourists.
Okay.
So they would come home with lots of toys for the grandchildren. That seemed to be...
They didn't catch up with family? They'd lost contact with family?
There is no family.
They'd all left? Died out?
All left.
Okay.
So, you know, when you look at it, it's four or five generations.
Yes, yep.
They've gone.
Have you done DNA testing?
Son has.
And so there are loads of distant relatives all around the States and...
Yeah, all around the world.
All around the world, yep.
Yeah. My great-great-grandfather, McFarlane, came out to New Zealand as a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
One brother went to America.
Yeah.
We've managed to discover that. And another one went to Australia. But nobody ever knows what has happened to him.
Yeah, okay.
And so here was this young man who left and came to the other side of the world, and that was that.
Yeah, yeah.
But while we were there, we went to some amazing historic places, and one of them showed the progression of houses from the castle through to sort of modern day. And going into the cottage of about the 1840s was just like going into a cottage in any of New Zealand's historic areas.
Yes, yeah.
It just...
Yeah, it'd be the same design and structure.
It was the same design. Yeah, yeah. It had all the same stuff. It had a piano. It had a Singer sewing machine. It had books.
Yeah.
I thought, this is what they came with and from. This is why we are the way we are in New Zealand.
Hmm.
And that made... Okay. It just gave me another depth, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, how long were you in Britain, and what did you do there?
We went up to Edinburgh first, and we took the hop-on, hop-off bus and visited a few things around Edinburgh. And then we hired a car and went and stayed in a little stone cottage north of Edinburgh between Comrie and Crieff. And that was just amazing, to be in the countryside, which is where they would have come from.
Yeah.
The Strawn family, which the McFarlane married a Strawn, they had come from that area. We couldn't find... Our phones wouldn't work, good old New Zealand 3G.
Yeah.
We couldn't find exactly the area that they were from, but they were from around that
were
area.
You tempted to wander around every graveyard that you could
not
find
at all.
No?
No.
Church record, parish record? No?
No?
No. Oh, you were just looking.
My cousins have done all that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's all been found already.
It's all been found.
Yeah.
I'm not going to find anything new. I didn't go for that.
Yeah.
Okay. I went for my feelings.
For the feeling. Yeah. Okay.
That's what I went for. And
what time of year were you there?
We were there in autumn.
Autumn. Mm. So
it was cool, but not cold.
Yeah. Okay. So wet? Wet? Dry.
No, we had one day of rain the whole time.
Oh, excellent.
It was brilliant.
But all the autumn colours, I suppose.
Just beginning, yes.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
But certainly not warm anywhere, really.
No, it wouldn't be. It'd have to be an Indian summer to be warm.
That's right. I thought maybe we'd be lucky.
Yeah.
No, not quite.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially up north, it's a bit cooler than further south.
It was pretty much the same. So then after we'd been there, we went we caught a train up to Oban, or Oban.
Oban, yes.
Oban is what we call the one down on Stewart Island.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Oban. And that was one of those delicious moments. I was trying to take a photograph, and in a moving train with a central tremor, you actually don't take very good photographs.
Yes.
So this young man who...
Hang on, you said a tremor. Maybe we should explain to people what you're talking
about. A tremor. That's an hereditary thing from down my grandmother. She was a Davies from England. We just shake.
So it's a hand tremor, so it's hard to hold the camera still.
It affects the whole body, actually.
Yeah.
So sometimes you can feel your stomach shaking. But anyway, it's a nuisance, but it doesn't stop you living a good life.
Very good for grating cheese.
If you want part of your finger with it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay. So you're on the train.
And this behind us, the carriage we're in, is a little luggage compartment. And this young man went and sat down there by himself. So I went along to take a photo because it was nice and clear. I didn't have to lean across anybody. And he said, "Would you like me to take the photograph?" And I said, "Oh, I'd love you to. That would be wonderful." So he did. So then I sat down beside him and we chatted about why I was there and me being a McFarlane. And he had grown up near Glasgow, I think, but he had moved to Oban and he utterly loved it. He was just in love with the Highlands and everything. So he got to be my best friend, as he did. And he must have had a store of alcohol somewhere because he got more and more friendly as the trip went on. Anyway, when I went and sat down, while we were there, he said, "Loch Lomond." I said, "Yes." And then he starts singing by Yon Bonny Banks. And so I sing too. Yeah. And the two of us are singing at the back.
And you both got thrown off the train for being...
We were very good, I have you know.
Yeah, okay.
And then I went and sat back down. And the next thing I'd hear, "Mary, look, it's..." Whatever it was that he was pointing at. And so I'd look and everyone would kind of look at me in the carriage as if I was a bit crazy. And then as he drank more, he got more excited. So at one stage, "Ach, Mary!" And he rushes over behind us. "It's Loch Lomond." And so we're going, "Oh, isn't it beautiful? Oh, doesn't it make your heart sing, Mary?" It was just the most delightful connection between an older lady and a young man who had some connection through Scotland.
Absolutely.
And
the other people in the carriage were sort of shocked by this?
They were a little, yes. And my partner tried to climb underneath the seat.
Yeah, he was hiding as well.
Or pretending he'd never met me.
Okay. So, which raises the point of the people that, like, you felt at home there. Was that the countryside or the people or everything? What differences did you see compared to New Zealand? What stood out? They do say when you go somewhere new, take photos straight away because that's when the differences stand out. But also for other things, first observations often highlight the differences. You get used to them later.
I think one of the amazing differences to me was that everything has stairs.
Yeah.
And that the UK builds its towns on hills.
Yes.
So that the lovely
flatland
is used for agriculture. Mm-hmm. Whereas here we tend to just plonk a house on half an acre or 5 acres or something.
Yes. Yeah.
They don't do that there. And so everything's really close and people are very fit because they walk.
Yeah. Okay.
Everything's close together and...
Do they seem slimmer than in New Zealand?
I think they do.
Yeah? Okay.
When you saw someone overweight, they could be very obese. But
then that would be a health...
That would be some sort of condition rather than because we, I'm a great counter, so I count stairs when I go places, you know, and when you're going up 60 steps to get to your apartment or something, you actually use a lot of energy to do that. And so it keeps you...
So did you see old people still being mobile?
Absolutely. And they would have their... I mean, the houses all have stairs just about.
Yeah, well, two-story house, the idea
all
of a
three wireless... Story.
Yeah. In fact, they were moving up to five-story apartments in towns and cities now.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so... And because they're so old, there's no room for a lift.
Yeah.
So a lot of the hotels we stayed in, you were lugging our great big suitcases up these tiny little narrow stairs that go on and on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hadn't, that hadn't occurred to me that that's what it was like. But it made me...
Was that quite, well, obviously you hadn't expected it. Did you have some other expectations or... Well, you had no idea.
I had no idea, really.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I was surprised. I was surprised at how little the car features in the life of a lot of people. We stayed for 5 days in Hastings, down in the south coast of England. And we had to park across a park, you know, a beautiful green park, and then on a road on the other side before we could get anywhere near our place.
Okay. Because all the parking spaces were taken, or there wasn't much room for
there
parking?
There was hardly any parking because the roads are so narrow.
Yes, yeah.
And so you just don't park. And the houses take up their whole section.
Yeah, because a lot of them, they were built already before all the popularity with cars and, and so on.
Yeah, I found that really fascinating.
But public transport was a lot better.
Yeah, fantastic.
And the cars are smaller there, did you notice? Or are you not sure?
No, about the same.
Okay, okay. How did you find driving?
I didn't drive. I was going to, but I didn't.
Yeah.
But I, it's slow. Like, if you're on a main road, it's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're on just an ordinary road, you the roads are so narrow that you have to pull over to the side to let someone coming the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And you can't see because there are trees. They're all beautifully tree-lined, which is glorious. But I imagine it would be frustrating.
My experience in, because I grew up in Britain, is that there's much stricter lane discipline than in New Zealand.
Oh, yes.
Which there has to be. But to me, I come here and the roads seemed incredibly wide and cars were just wandering all over the place, which seemed very dangerous. Whereas if everybody is... strictly staying in their lanes and indicate, you indicate before you maneuver so everyone else knows what you're about to do rather than do the maneuver and then indicate. You know, you here you see cars, if they want to say turn right, they'll do all the maneuvering round and stop in the position to turn right, then put the indicator on. So, no, they had to give clear signals. So,
the UK drivers are very. Courteous.
That's right, you let each other
you
in.
You let each other
sort of,
in, people wave you on and all that sort of stuff. So that probably is what the sort of driving we were brought up with here in, as at my age.
I think in the past, I've been here, over 45 years now, and it's certainly improved. When I first arrived, there was, in fact, I was fairly young and talking to young New Zealanders. If you happen to overtake someone, of course they will chase you down the road to get back in front of you because they didn't want you to beat them.
I did find,
in Britain, say, if there was a supermarket car park, lots of cars parked, one's pulling out and you want to take that space, you give them lots of room to get out. And I found if I was doing that here, you give car room to get out, someone else will nip in and think, beat you. you know. That has changed, but that was the, right. The late 1970s, early 1980s. That did seem to be the culture.
Good heavens.
Isn't
that interesting?
That was my impression. But you grew up in a rural area or an urban area? Or?
I grew up on a farm in Martin.
Okay.
Out of Martin.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's probably different compared to...
Well, there were no rules at all driving in Martin.
Yes, yeah. You probably wouldn't need rules.
It was very slow and gentle. You could practice your parallel parking all day and nobody would mind.
Well, you'd have wide roads and nobody wouldn't be in any way in the way for anybody. Yeah.
No.
That would have surprised you, would it? Because here, I think a lot of the... Especially the small towns, they had wide roads for droving, didn't they?
But I think so. It was a very wide road.
In Britain, you got narrow cobble roads and things like that in a lot of the villages.
Yes. Yeah. And so, therefore, you don't take your car because there's nowhere.
And it's very expensive to park. Yeah.
It's expensive. Yeah. We went to Brighton and everywhere we went, we had to pay more money for parking.
Yes.
And everything was shut because it wasn't the season.
Yes, yeah.
So we thought, we may as well go back to Hastings and at least we know where we are and we can get a bus.
yeah. But public transport is, because of the population, it's a lot better.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. When in Edinburgh, when we arrived on the train from London, we took a taxi because it was getting... later in the evening, and we seemed to be way out in the outer suburbs, we thought goodness, this is going to be tricky getting into the centre. And then we worked out that there was a train station 6 minute walk away, and then there was a 10 minute train trip, and we were right in the middle of so actually it was much quicker by public transport and walking than it was by taking a car.
And the a big part of the reason for that is that the development, they would have had the railways and build the, you can build the housing around the stations. So rather than here, we've got cities designed for cars and then you're trying to put in public transport.
That's right.
Because a lot of that would have been put in place. If you go back to, say, 1950, there'd be a load of households without a car at all, and those that did have one might only have one car.
Mm.
So, even if a household had a car, a lot of the time people would be just using public transport anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
And the trains were phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
It was...
If you live there, you probably complain about them, but if you're not used to it, it seems very good. Yeah.
Well, they just, they go on time, they go to where they say they're going. You can talk to the staff at the station and say, this is where we want to go, and they will give you a little itinerary of where to go.
And they were cheap, or if you buy your ticket well in advance, they're cheap?
I don't know, because we got a rail pass before we left New Zealand.
Okay, because which is probably, and that allowed you to go just anyway. That's probably the best way to go if you're traveling around, because that you can buy your tickets sort of any time. If you buy them a fair bit in advance, then it's a lot cheaper than as you get closer, it gets dearer and dearer. But did you have allocated seats?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, maybe.
Because often you buy a ticket and it's a specific seat.
We went first class from London to Edinburgh, and we had an allocated seat there, but I think that was the only time. Okay. Otherwise, they'd say, this is the first class.
Or maybe first class they don't allocate, the others perhaps they do, I don't know.
I don't know.
Because they stick the tickets in the seat thing. So
they've actually got a little light now that says... says something like
engaged,
free until such and such a station, and then if it's green you can sit there because no one's booked it.
Or if you're getting off beforehand.
All those things were really interesting. I mean, just learning to live in a sort of modern world, really.
Yeah. I found it was interesting, again, going up to Scotland, and you find, you think, it feels like, you know, the train looks as if it's going round a bend. You know, we seem to be on an angle, but we feel as if we're going slight. And what they've done, the carriages themselves, they tilt when you're going round a bend. So you still feel as if you're going straight. Yeah, which was interesting.
Yeah, it is,
it
yes.
But,
So after we'd come back from Oban, which was quite a fascinating place, just so old, and but everywhere you have to walk, I mean, it was just incredibly amazing.
And for what?
For what? For the, first of all, for the round thing at the top of the hill, McCaig's Folly.
Yeah, which means it looks like a castle, but it isn't. It's just dressed up to look as if.
And so that's part of the family history as well, because my grandfather on the other side was a McCaig, and they're descended from the McCaigs. They're part of that clan as well.
Yeah.
So that was interesting, but the buildings are also they're majestic, but they're and they're huge, and it looks like it all ought to be terribly luxurious, but of course they've been built so many years ago that they're not
necessarily terribly well insulated.
That's right.
And they might have been built as big family homes, but they've been subdivided into
stairs to go up to your area, and then another set of stairs to go back down to the toilet, and
it's just
the way they so I like that. That was really nice. The dog, you talked about dogs recently, about how dogs are everywhere, especially we noticed in Hastings, because it's got these beautiful parks, and so people are out there with their dogs, but they take them into the cafe, inside the cafe, in the park, or into the supermarket, or
And they're all well behaved?
And pretty well, all behaved.
Yeah,
well,
because they have to be socialised with all the people there.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programmes can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programmes is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.